Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. With us now, Anu Joshi, Director of Immigration Policy at the New York Immigration Coalition, to continue to talk about the border policy developments. And also with us is New York One reporter Josh Robin, who first reported the presence of children being brought from the border to New York. You would have seen that if you're a Spectrum subscriber and you have Spectrum News, New York One, and a lot of other media have picked it up since. So hi, Anu. Hi, Josh. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Good morning.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Josh, will you recount first for our audience how you learned and what you saw regarding child detainees from the border area being brought to East Harlem?
We were certainly aware that there was a possibility that they were being taken to places other than areas near the border. And I got a confidential source, reached out and said, come to the center. We're not sure if exactly it's going to happen. We're not sure the exact time, but come and plan to stay for a while in the overnight hours. Me and camerawoman Zoe Slemons, we went up to East Harlem and we checked out the other Cayuga centers. They have other facilities around the city. And we stayed there until something very strange happened after midnight.
Which was?
Which was, it was a dark street. There was no one around. It's underneath the trestle that has the Metro North tracks. And all of a sudden, with no one around, a bunch of young girls pulled out of a car, a livery car, with a couple of what looked like chaperones. They were given instructions in Spanish to go to the center, which we knew was processing kids who had been taken from their families trying to cross along the southern border. And they were hustled in to this foster care center. And then an hour later, we waited around and they emerged with dark cloth on their heads to try to conceal them. And they were hustled into other waiting cars separate. No one commented either in English or in Spanish.
So Anu, after people might have started seeing this on Spectrum on New York One, our website Gothamist got in touch with the CEO of Cayuga Center. Cayuga Center is Edward Hayes, and he told Gothamist, what I'm doing is respecting the terms of the contract, and it's important to respect these kids. These are tender, vulnerable kids who don't deserve to be frightened. They're incredibly heroic kids, and we're trying to take care of them. So I wonder how this all looks from the New York Immigration Coalition perspective. Is Cayuga Centers an organization you know? Do you think they're acting responsibly with these children? Would you rather them just not take such a contract with the Trump administration like this at all?
I mean, the reality is that what we're facing has nothing to do with the Cayuga Center. The Cayuga Center has long had a contract with the federal government to provide these kind of services and, has to pass any number of tests and reporting in order to maintain that contract and to take care of these children. You know, really, I mean, the focus of this must be why these kids, these young girls, are being sent there in the first place when they arrive at the border with a parent who is able to take care of them.
I see in the executive order that the president issued yesterday that there will be changes, obviously, to the detention, to the practices of detention. Families will now be housed together. How much of a victory do you consider that to be?
None at all. In fact, I think of that executive order as kind of a slap in the face. Basically, this president, after facing severe backlash from the public, from Congress, from members of his own party, is searching around for a way to say that he's doing something without actually doing anything, which is, you know, the history of his presidency. What he has said in this executive order and what he's instructed Jeff Sessions and the Department of Homeland Security to do is exactly what you said, to detain families. So to put parents and children in these cages rather than just the children and parents separately. But the problem with that is that there is a court settlement, this Flores court settlement that was decided in 1997 and updated in 2016, that says that you cannot keep children in either immigrant detention or obviously criminal jail or custody for more than 20 days, even with their parents. And so what we're looking at is, you know, this president basically saying, okay, we're going to house these families together, and, you know, if they abide by the law, which who knows, then we're just going to separate them 20 days from now. And the other side of this is that, you know, our government has space for about 3,000 people currently in immigration family detention centers. All of those spots are taken almost. And so he also, in that executive order, instructed the Department of Homeland Security to contract with the Department of Defense to house, to detain and jail these families on military sites, which are not built to detain families, which are not up to code, which don't meet licensing standards for caring for children. And so it's actually pretty unconscionable what he's trying to get away with in this executive order, and it's not going to make the situation any better.
I'll come back to you in a minute for what you think the viable alternatives are. And listeners, when we were following these developments last hour with Melissa Mark Viverito, so many of you were calling in, we can open the phones again on the president's executive order, the practice of detaining people who cross the border illegally, as well as some asylum seekers at the border, and now holding families together, and also what happens to those children who've already been separated. There are an estimated 2,300 of them. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Anu Joshi, Director of Immigration Policy at the New York Immigration Coalition, and Spectrum News New York One reporter Josh Robin, who first reported the presence of children being brought from the border to New York City. So, Josh, what's the larger context of this in New York? Where besides Cayuga centers, and what happens to these kids?
You know, the federal agency that is processing them is not returning my emails. So I can't say definitively where they are. All of this is being done being informed either by local officials or by confidential sources. But I have heard that there are a couple of centers run by Catholic services and by Lutheran services within the Bronx, and I'm quite confident that there are others. What's different here in New York is that, like the Cayuga centers, that's a foster care facility. They're not being housed there like we see in along the southern border. Instead, they're being placed with families.
And for you as a political reporter, Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio were being very vocal about the child separation policy before the executive order. The mayor is at the border today, as I understand it. He'll be on the show tomorrow morning at 10, and we'll talk about it. But here is 28 seconds of Mayor de Blasio.
Here's what I think people are feeling all over New York City right now. Our message to the federal government is simple. Stop this right now. Stop this broken, inhumane policy right now. And come clean with the truth. Who are these children? How many are they? Where are they? What is happening here? How is it possible that none of us knew there were 239 kids right here in our own city? How is the federal government holding back that information from the people of this city?
Josh Robin, do you know, as a reporter, how the federal government was withholding that information, how the mayor, and I gather the governor, also did not know this was going on until basically you caught it on video?
I have no idea. I wish I knew. And I think that number, and I think the mayor would agree, that number 239 is just in that one Cayuga center. There's got to be more within the city. I wouldn't be surprised if this 2,300 of kids who have been stripped away from their families is low. Because if there's 239 in one center alone in New York City, that seems to me like a low number. The governor is saying that there's 100 to 300 within New York State. I mean, this is a bureaucratic mess, and they're not sharing the information with local officials. And at least for this reporter, they're not sharing information with me, and I don't think with my colleagues either.
So, Anu, now that the policy has changed under the executive order for future families, what about these kids, hundreds of them, as Josh just noted, at least, who are held in New York City under the old policy?
Well, it's a great question. So there's about 2,300 kids, we think, nationwide who have been separated from their parents. And the federal government, the Health and Human Services Agency, which is responsible for taking care of these kids, has definitively said that there is no plan to reunite these 2,300 children with their parents. And, you know, I just want to remind listeners that just because a parent has been sent to criminal detention and separated from their kids, that doesn't mean their parental rights have been terminated. They are still these children's parents and deserve to know where their kids are and how they're going to be reunited with them. So, you know, it's pretty egregious what's happening. We know that the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, has said that they are, you know, giving out flyers to the parents that are being detained with the number for the Office of Refugee Resettlement, you know, with a hotline for the parents to call to try to find their kids. And we've heard reports that, A, that flyer is not reaching most parents, that it's kind of a chaotic mess what's happening right now, and that, B, the hotline isn't working, that parents are calling and not getting information about where their kids are. And so, you know, just for folks to imagine what that would be like to have your child ripped from your arms and have the United States government not be able to find your child after doing so. I mean, it's heartbreaking, and it's unbelievable.
It's unconscionable that they lose track of those matches between parent and child. Anu, you mentioned the 20-day issue earlier, and I want to follow up on that, because even under this new executive order, legal issues come into play. The law and the reigning court order say children can only be detained for 20 days without charges, as you mentioned. Adults being detained for crossing illegally can be detained longer. And one of the things that changed is that the Trump administration, under the zero tolerance policy, is prosecuting illegal entries as crimes, not civil offenses. Obviously a milder category, as was being done during the Obama administration. So it looks like we're facing a situation where they'll detain all of these families, but after 20 days, they would need to release the children unless the law changes. So what are you advocating? It's hard for me to imagine you from the New York Immigration Coalition saying Congress should pass a law allowing for lengthier detention of children. But what's another alternative to solving this problem, assuming the government intends to arrest and charge criminally those illegally entering parents?
Well, that last assumption, I think, is what we really need to challenge as the American public. You know, just because the Trump administration rolled out the zero tolerance policy at the beginning of May, and they basically said that, you know, we are going to prosecute, as, you know, to the full extent, to the maximum extent allowable, every single person, regardless of any mitigating circumstances. And this is the change in policy that has resulted in these 2,300 children being separated from their parents. So, you know, what we are advocating for is that these families that are coming to the border, escaping violence, persecution, are given their chance to argue for asylum under our current system. And we have a system that can deal with people that are claiming asylum. And, you know, there is a program, the Family Case Management Program, which unfortunately Trump ended last year, which is what had been in place to deal with families that were coming to the border. It puts families that are requesting asylum after they've gone through their credible fear interview in this process where they get a case manager. It has a 97% appearance rate in court. And so there are things that we can do as a government to ensure that our system and rules are followed. But this zero tolerance policy is basically, you know, it's illegal to not wear your seatbelt in many states. But that doesn't mean that we send people to jail for not doing it. And that is ostensibly what this government is doing to people who are crossing the border.
Josefina at NYU. You're on WNYC with, I guess, experience working at a detention center in Texas. Is that right, Josefina? And thank you for calling. Hi.
Yes, I volunteer in Dilley, Texas regularly to help prepare women for their credible fear interviews. And I was just saying to the person who answered the phone that the Trump administration has really backed itself into a corner by not allowing, by taking asylum, a victim of gang violence or domestic violence off the table as grounds for asylum. We prepare these women, and we have also like a 95% success rate of getting these women through their credible fear interviews because they have credible fear of coming in the countries that they come from. And in your previous segment, a caller said they rehearse 20 words and they get through this credible fear interview. That's not how it is at all, Brian. It takes us, it takes me 45 minutes to an hour to even get these women to be able to talk about the trauma that sent them fleeing their countries. These are really horrendous cases that if I were to tell them to your callers, it would keep them up for weeks. And these are not just women who flee because it occurs to them one day. These have been systematically victimized. And the escalation of the victimization by the gangs is what eventually drives them to the border. Usually it's because their daughters are targeted. They've been putting up for abuse with, you know, they've been paying the extortion rates. They've been being, you know, harassed and, you know, in their homes. But it's when the violence is then directed toward their children that these women then decide to flee.
With this experience that you've had, let me ask you a common pushback question that we get from some callers, which is, why do so many of them come from those Central American countries to the United States seeking asylum? Why don't they go to countries that are closer? Why don't they go to Mexico and just stay in Mexico instead of trying to cross all the way through Mexico to here, especially if they're not English speakers? Why don't they go the other way into South America and go to, you know, or Costa Rica, which is in Central America, and things like that?
They do. Nicaragua receives many of, because Nicaragua does not suffer from the same gang violence for historical reasons that I won't go into. So Nicaragua does receive a number of these women. Mexico has also received a number of these women and granted them refugee status. But most come to the United States because of the historical migration patterns. In other words, they have family here from the 80s and 90s when, you know, people were fleeing civil war, or, you know, and so they have family members here already, and that's why they come here. They don't have family members in Mexico. Some of them, you know, they don't have family members in Nicaragua. And so generally that they're following the historical migration patterns that have been put in place for decades.
Thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate it. Janet in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, I think some issue that's completely lost is that there were illegal immigrants trying to come here under Bush and Obama. They just were not locked up. So this whole issue didn't come up.
Right. And so Anu Joshi from the New York Immigration Coalition, the Trump administration would argue that that old, what they call catch and release policy, was the problem, or a problem, because people would come here illegally and then be released on their own recognizance and then not show up for their court orders and just start living here as undocumented immigrants. And that's what the Trump administration is trying to crack down on so that the border is more meaningful. Would you argue against that?
Yeah, I would. I mean, we have seen, there's a couple of different ways that I would answer that. One, you know, in terms of historical trends, right now, the era that we're living in, the number of people attempting to cross the border or crossing the border is at the lowest it's been. And actually, there are more people leaving the United States, more undocumented immigrants in general leaving the United States than coming in. So that's one. two, the Trump administration has explicitly said that this practice, a zero tolerance policy, locking up and separating families, is meant to be as a deterrent to prevent people from coming. But it isn't working. And it's also cruel and potentially illegal to punish families that are here in order to prevent other people from committing crimes. That is not a thing that the United States should practice in. I would say we protested when President Obama built these detention centers under his administration, and we were victorious in this 2016 Flores court settlement update that said that, still, even with their parents, you cannot detain children longer longer than 20 days.
Here's a clip of President Trump at his rally in Duluth, Minnesota last night on what you were just talking about from his point of view.
So the Democrats want open borders. Let everybody come in. Let everybody pour in. We don't care. Let them come in from the Middle East. Let them come in from all over the place. We don't care. We're not going to let it happen. And by the way, today I signed an executive order. We're going to keep families together, but the border is going to be just as tough as it's been.
So as this becomes an issue in the midterm elections, Anu, how would you argue that people like yourself, you're not a Democratic Party politician, you're an advocate for immigrants, but for the Democratic politicians who say the kinds of things you've been saying here today, that you're not just for open borders?
We have a set, the United States has rules and laws that have been put in place by Congress and in accordance with international law. And all that we are advocating for is that the United States, that our government demonstrate some humanity in carrying out those laws. No one is arguing for open borders, but we have a process by which individuals are allowed to apply for asylum at our border. And I just want to point out that, the DHS Secretary, Kirstjen Nielsen, makes this big point about telling families to go to a port of entry to apply for asylum. There are hundreds of reports of people being illegally turned away at ports of entry by Border Patrol officers. So, this administration is going out of its way to dehumanize this country and to put our worst face forward.
And Josh Robin, you'll get the last word here. For you as a political reporter, how does this continue to play in our area, either in the midterm elections or in the gubernatorial race, or as Mayor de Blasio tries to build his national profile?
Well, I think it plays in all three of them. Michael Grimm, who's running for Congress, a seat that he used to have on Staten Island, said the other day that these kids crying, there was an audio tape of it leaked, and he said that the kids crying because parents had been taken away from them, perhaps permanently, was akin just to a kid who has been dropped off at daycare and is upset that his mom or his dad left. But of course, we'll be returning later in the day. I can only anticipate that if he wins that primary election, that it will be used against him by the Democrat who ends up running. And additionally, I think that it'll play out in races in Republican-held seats across the region and across the state. As for the governor and the mayor, I think that they're going to continue to try to fight against this. The governor announcing a lawsuit, the mayor right now still in Texas. And even with the policy ending, again, there are a lot of kids who, to put it charitably, are in limbo in our very city. Some, by the way, at least one, as young as 9 months old.
And as we said, Mayor de Blasio is at the border today. He'll be on this show tomorrow, and we'll continue this conversation. For now, we thank Spectrum News New York One reporter Josh Robin and Anu Joshi, Director of Immigration Policy at the New York Immigration Coalition. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.